hot, but it's cool. I'm icy.
Check, check. No jumper. No jumper. Coolest podcast in the world. I'm here with Benjamin Kicks today, and it's fucking hot.
What up?
Like, really hot. Like, the AC broke, and we're just out here suffering for the next few hours before the AC gets fixed. So I just want to say that if we seem like we're sweaty or anything is out of the ordinary, that's why.
It's hot.
How you feeling?
I'm good. I'm chilling.
See, I've always been, like, interested in you and shit, and then I hit you up, I think, yesterday, like, yo, we got to do an interview sometime, and you were like, all right, let's do it tomorrow because I'm about to go to Europe for, like, a month or some shit.
That's a fact.
So what the fuck is going on? Why are you going out there?
Well, I'm not going to name drop anyone, but I'm going on a little tour with somebody, one of my boys, who's, like, a big artist, but we're going to tell him later, but I'm going out there, and then I got to go back to Miami because I ain't been there, like, 2 months in New York. So I'm going to be out for a minute, out of L.A. for a minute, so I just want to get this before I'm about to drop the album and stuff and drop the songs, but I just wanted to come here first before I do all that.
No, that's perfect. Cause yeah, like, I mean, I'm always trying to be a part of the moment, you know, when something's going on, it's good. It's just really like weird timing. Cause I've been thinking about hitting you up saying I want to do an interview for like months now. And it just so happens. By the way, two phone shorty over here.
Trying to be like you.
I'm trying to get two phones. I only got one. My phone is fucking destroyed. It's broken and shit.
Oh yeah. Facts. I cracked mine today getting out the car.
Really?
Yeah.
Case on one, no case on the other. Mine is horrible. It looks like I threw a fucking boulder at it, bro. Anyway, so you're going on tour for how long in Europe?
Well, I'm probably going to go on, like, there's, like, eight major ones, major dates that I want to go on. So I'm going to go on those eight. And then I'm going to go in Miami and then New York. And then I'm going to come back in L.A. There's, like, a bunch of tours. Then my birthday, I'm going to have it in L.A. out here in October. So... probably gonna come out here like beginning of October.
So when you're on tour, are you just like hustling, just finding shit to do, finding plays to make? You seem like that kind of guy.
Yeah, it's kinda. But now I got this whole album. I've been like telling everybody since last October, my birthday, I was gonna drop it.
Right.
But it wasn't even half done that time, so I don't know why. It was kind of like you do things on impulse, you're like, oh yeah, I'm gonna drop it.
Do you think that people think you're bullshitting when you talk about putting out music?
Yeah, facts.
Yeah.
But literally,
I've heard it's good. Right now.
I'm going to play some exclusive stuff on here.
I'm with that. I heard that it was good from people I really respect, like A&Rs in the music industry, too. Orlando told me it was tight.
Yeah, that's my man. That's my brother.
Right. When he said it, I was like, damn, that's crazy. He wouldn't really say that about somebody unless he really thought it was dope.
My man's, yeah.
Crazy. All right, so I guess we got to go back to the early days, though. You're from Miami?
Yeah, from Miami.
How old are you right now?
18.
Okay, so you're from Miami. What kind of upbringing do you have?
Like how I started.
Yeah, or like just what kind of kid were you when you were like, you know, elementary, junior high?
Oh yeah, I was always basically, I was always like hustling, whatever it was, like selling candy, whatever it was, pencils, a bunch of like all that little shit.
It's like a type of kid that is just figuring out how he can make little amounts of money when he's young.
The fact I did, I like washed cars in my neighborhood with no soap, but like still washed it. I walked dogs till one dog ran away. It was over for that.
I was interviewing somebody who was saying they're a dog walker the other day, and that was like, how many dogs do you have? Like, oh, we had like 20 dogs at the same time.
Oh, yeah. No. I had one dog, and then it was a baby dog, and I was walking with it, and a big Rottweiler was in the garage in my neighborhood, and he just started barking. He was off the leash. Like, how do you leave a Rottweiler off the leash in your garage with the open garage?
You should go to jail for that.
This dog just started running. So I felt so bad for the little dog. So I was trying to like calm the big dog down, but I'm not gonna lie, I was like 13, so I was kind of shook that he was gonna eat me. And like he was like running, and I couldn't like protect the little dog, so I let the little dog go. He started running, and then we found the dog later, but that was it. I was like, never again doing that.
I'm still scared of big dogs.
Nah, he was big. He was definitely my size.
And I'm like annoyed by little dogs, actually, now that I think about it.
Chihuahuas and stuff.
There's like a very like fine line of like what kind of dogs I really mess with. I like beagles.
That's cool.
I like any dog that's like really like cute and funny looking.
Yeah.
That's all I got going for me. All right. So yeah, you're a kid and you like knew how to hustle. What were your earliest hustles?
Like the candy stuff, walk dogging, car washing, and then it really moved on to sneakers as a hobby.
So when did that become a thing, and what made you initially have the idea that you could do that?
It was literally the LeBron 9 Galaxies, the orange ones.
So what year are we talking?
This was like 5 years ago, probably.
Keep in mind, my sneaker knowledge is on zero.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, so I was just you're dealing with a simple man that doesn't know a lot about, like, the various Jordans that have come out over the years.
I want to say this was, like, 5 years ago, like, right around my bar mitzvah. My mom got me them, and I wore them to school. Everyone was like, oh, these are hard. Like, these are fire, whatever. Like, it was, like, I guess it was a wave. And then
your mom didn't know any better? She just copped them to cop them? She didn't know it was hot?
Champs. Like, I was a size six, so, like, my size was always – I have a – Not on a small foot now, but I had a small foot back then.
Yeah.
Kind of a small foot now.
Well, still. I'm like a fucking 13, so I feel your problem on the other side. It's like hard to find shoes in 13.
Yeah, I'm like an 8.5.
Oh, so that's good. That's normal now.
Yeah, but then...
Six must have been rough.
I was like a 6. So, like, they stayed in the store, so my mom got them. I wore them, and then everyone's like, oh, wow, you got the whole pack? And I was like, what pack? I was like, yeah, I got the whole pack. I didn't know what pack, though. So I went with my mom to the store. I was like, what pack? Like, no, like one kid in my class was like, yo, I want to buy the Kobe's off you. I'll give you double.
Don't. I can't believe they just knocked. Wow. I put a fucking sign on the door that says don't knock. I just spent like 10 minutes doing that. Go, please go shoot someone. All right. What are you saying?
So, the pack. So, yeah, the pack. So I was like, yeah, I have the pack. And I told my mom, I was like, yo, let's go. I have a friend that wants to pay me double for the Kobe's. So we went there and she bought me 2 pairs of Kobe's. One my size, one his. I sold it to him the next day for double. So basically I got my pair for free.
Right.
And then I was like, always trying to buy shoes. And then
that's an addictive feeling, huh?
Yeah, definitely. My birthday came around on my bar mitzvah, and I bought a pair of shoes, Myro 7s, for like $700.
Mm-hmm.
And I wore them. And my dad was like, wow, you're an idiot. Like, he was like, you're actually dumb. Like, you know, you just spent $700 on a pair of shoes, and no one else is going to buy them from you ever again. Now you just wore them. They're worth zero.
Right.
And it had the lace pack and all. So I wore them once. I kept them, and I sold them like 2 months later, not even for $950. Or right around there, my dad was like, wow, so you, like, you found someone just as dumb as you, I guess, right?
Your dad a real traditional kind of guy?
Yeah.
What's he do for a living?
He's an entrepreneur.
Really? Yeah. Is he super famous and I'm just in the dark? No. Everyone else in the room is laughing. I think I am in the dark.
No, he does real estate.
Okay. It's probably like fucking the richest dude in Miami know about, yeah.
But...
Come on, let's talk dads.
I wasn't even laughing because of that. I was laughing because my friend is, he was just looking at me. Okay. Weird. But yeah, so no, he was just like, you found someone just as dumb as you, right? Like, whatever. So I sold the shoe and I just started like buying.
Buying what?
My phone, they just keep looking at me. It's like, it's a problem. But I just kept buying and selling shoes. And like, it was like, from there it became a hobby. I got into SBs, Tiffany's, What the Dunks, all that stuff. Like, it was like the first shoe. Then I bought the Galaxy Foams for like $800. I wore them and I scuffed them crazy. So I was like, oh, I'm losing money on this for sure. So I got to make it back on a different shoe. But What the Dunks, bought a bunch of stuff, got into the game. Then I had a mutual friend that he connected me with, DJ Khaled.
Who was the mutual friend?
Oh, it's a mutual friend, you know. It's like no one famous.
Is hanging out in Miami with DJ Khaled just like, you know, it might happen? Like, if you're in the music scene in L.A., like, I was with Travis Barker last night, and I was just thinking about it, and I'm like, that probably seems like a really big deal to a lot of people, but, you know, if you're in the rap scene in L.A., it's not that big a deal. He's, like, a dude who's in the music scene out here, you know? Is DJ Khaled just sort of a dude who's in the scene?
Yeah. And then, but this was 4 years ago.
And before he became, like, the viral sensation that we all know him to be literally. A bit now.
But it was on something, like, we're all doing the same thing that he talks about, like, the whole washing the flower, like, he was doing it. The whole jet skis, we were really getting pulled over on the jet skis. Like, all the stuff he's, like, talking about now, he was really doing it. People were like, oh, he just fakes it for the Snapchat. It was more of, like, he just posted what he did on Snapchat, and people found it entertaining and just blew up type of thing. But, now I remember he made a Snapchat, and then every day, like, just 100,000 extra, 100,000 extra, 100,000. And then before you knew it, it was, like, huge. It was, like, biggest thing out.
It was so interesting because he kind of took like his regular like rapper personality and then just like sort of transferred it over to Snapchat. And like normally most people sort of like become a regular person on Snapchat, and he just decided to like live as his like rapper character on Snapchat and like just took it to an extreme. And people just like, that was one of the first people that you really saw like just building a name for themselves on Snapchat.
No, yeah, facts. It was, it was crazy.
And so were you ever around during, like, a time period? Oh, my phone's over here. Were you ever around when he was sort of, like, coming up with the idea that he was going to, like, sort of take on this whole different, like...
It was more of, like, he had, like, a bunch of people in the house all the time. Like, a bunch of close people, and everyone was just, like, you know, Snap was a new thing at the time. Everyone was, like, oh, Snap, whatever. He made a Snap. First couple of days he was posting, it was cool. And then it just... out of nowhere, like, well, I remember one day we came to the house, go jet skiing, and it was like 60,000 views. Next day, 150. And then from there, it was just like, it wasn't even on like, it was just natural. It was like, no one was posting. It was catching, like, everyone was just laughing at it, like, oh, lion, the whole plant. Like, it was just crazy, like, pulling over on jet skis.
It was weird, too, because it was like, if there's a YouTube link going viral, like, people put it on Twitter. They texted to each other, all that shit. With DJ Khaled, it was blowing the fuck up just by people talking about it, and then people had to go figure it out on their own.
Yeah.
It's like such a higher like learning curve to go figure out what somebody's Snapchat is and shit like that. But why were you? What do you think he saw in you that he even wanted you to like be around? A lot of times, like really successful people like having like younger people around that have like that energy and that drive.
Well, I guess I think it was the entrepreneurship, honestly, because it was like our friend linked him because he needed some shoes, and I got him the shoes. And then I just started getting him shoes all the time. And then he was like, oh, come to the show, come here, come to the house, come on tour. And it was just like, I was just doing my thing with the shoes. I was obviously still plugging him. He plugged me with a bunch, like French Montana, P. Diddy. Like, I remember we went on jet skis to P. Diddy's house. I linked with his kids, Justin, Christian, Quincy.
Right.
From there, just went crazy. So, like, he put me on with them. He a real one. Put me on with them. Right. It was just, from there, it was just.
It's all about who you fucking are able to, like, you know, network and meet. And, like, if you're, like, you, like, it's so out of the ordinary to be, like, a fucking 15, 16-year-old kid that's actually, like, cool enough that adults want to have him around. And it's just so crazy that you were able to sort of, like, leapfrog ahead of a shitload of other people that were trying to do this type of shit because you just had, like, the personality to sort of, you know, people, like, when they talk about, you know, hanging out with somebody like Puffy or fucking... Or Khaled or whatever, it's like it seems like such an unapproachable thing because these types of people do not want random ass people around them because they're busy and successful and motherfuckers act weird and shit.
Fact, yeah, they just do their own thing.
Yeah,
but nah, I just caught the wave with them. I guess like at the right time and all, they fucked me. Like it just clicked. French, his brothers, AU, Zach, all of them. It was just like it became like I was going on tour with them with Khaled. I remember we went to Barclays with Diddy in New York for the show, for him and Jay-Z thing. And then who was it first? I want to say it was Offset. I met Offset first. This was a long time ago. It was like, this was before Bad and Bougie. This was like almost 3 years ago.
Benjamin Kicks got left off Bad and Bougie.
Sad, right? Do it look like I'm left off Bad and Bougie?
He was on the first version before Uzi. You ghost wrote Uzi's verse. I don't know why that just popped in my head, but yeah. So wait a minute, like when you're going, so you're just talking about me and Offset.
Mm-hmm.
So that, how'd that relationship?
So this was like, this is before the whole, they really, really blew up before like the Ice Train and all, you know?
Mm.
So it was like, they came to Miami. We all brought the foreigners out, you know, like we just went to the mall, did the whole thing, whatever, cool. Went to the show. It was just, I fucked them, I fucked the music. I introduced them to my little brothers. I have two little brothers, like one's 15 now and one's 10. And they fucked my brothers too. It was just, I connected with them because they were like more young, compared to like the rest of the artists I was with, you know?
Right.
Like more close to my age. Like at the time, like they were 22, 23, 25. So it was like, I was 15, but still versus 40, 23, you know what I mean? It's just like, I just connected better with them.
Somebody like Khaled or fucking Puffy or whatever, they've been in the game for so long. And the Migos, like, they feel like they've been around for a long time. Yeah. It has been damn near 10 years. But, you know, they're still pretty young, all things considered, yeah.
No, yeah, facts. So it was like, that was really the first one that I really, like, really, really clicked with.
Mm.
And then I remember I started doing this hoodie, this collab. House Business, obviously Khaled, Boomin'. And then from there, I did, with Migos, we did Boomin' Way. So before Bad and Bougie dropped, I went to Atlanta to do a photo shoot with them, do the whole hoodie, the whole shirt. It was Boomin' Way. It was, I'm not going to say like what, but we know what it looked like, but whatever. But that was the first thing I did with them. And I just started breaking bread with them. Like whether it was back then, I'm not going to give out numbers, but whether it was like, oh, someone wants a feature, or someone wants a show. Oh, how much you want? Okay, cool, here you go. And they would always try to like break me off, like, here you go. I was like, no, it's cool, it's fine, like, just, you know, do your thing. Like, at the time, I was doing my own thing with the shoes. So to me, it was like, yeah, I'd rather see them win. If I don't need it right now, I'd rather just see them win. You know what I mean? So it was like, for me, it was like, they were like, Quavo was like, here, I'm gonna break you off this. I said, no, it's cool. It's like, they show me love, social media, they show me love with my merch, all that. I'm gonna just get them whatever I can.
Yeah, you feel like it kind of like poisons the relationship if you sort of like try to, you know, you see that a lot where people would be going on tour with somebody or whatever, and then they try to make it a job, try to start getting official, like they start asking for money, and it's sort of like it could kind of just change the whole relationship a little bit.
Oh, yeah. So now to me it was just like they put me on with this. Oh, cool, I got him a show. My friend wanted to book him. Cool, whatever this number was. No, it's you good. Keep it all. You sure? No, I'm good. Yeah, just, you know what I mean.
What was your thought process on that? You were just thinking long term.
I was thinking long term, and it was, to me, it was like, for example, like they'll post a pic on the Grammy. Keep in mind they were nowhere near as popping as they are now, obviously. But still, they were. I think Offset had like 1 million followers back then. Quavo had like 1.4, like stuff like that. You know, Takeoff had like 900 something. But it was just compared. I had like 200. So to me, it was like they just showed me love. They post me on a gram. Oh, go get his T-shirt. Do this, that, this, that. So I was like, oh, it's cool. It's lit. Keep the money. You good. And then my friend was like, and I didn't want to make money off my friends or whoever I was, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So to me, it was like, you just squared away anyway. And I mean, now we fuck with each other and the biggest thing out.
So how did you sort of, okay, so first off, I want to know, how did the businesses boom and catchphrase, like, did you and Khaled ever have a conversation of like, yo, this is going to be kind of like a meme. We're going to keep doing this over and over.
No, it was the black 750s released, the Yeezys. And I sold a bunch of pairs. I had like 15,000 on me. And it was all 20s because this guy who bought it for me paid me all 20s. It's a Miami thing, whatever.
And I feel you.
Yeah.
You know. That's the best feeling, though, when you get a shitload of cash off somebody, right?
Yeah.
You're like, man, this ain't going on my taxes. No, you're like, but that's like, that freaks me out. I'm like, what the fuck am I supposed to do with my taxes when you're just handing me this brown bag? But okay.
Oh, yeah, facts. But I was, you know, whatever, you don't, whatever they you don't you gotta
make it disappear.
Hurt, you know?
Yeah.
So I went to his house after that. And Hassan Whiteside was there from the Heat. And Khaled just took out a snap. He was in the jacuzzi. And I put the money there. He's like, hey, yo, Ben, how's business? And, like, I didn't know what to say at first. And the snap, you know, it's only 15 seconds back then. It was only one snap. And it was about to end. I was just like, booming. And then that was it. Caught it right there, like, the second it was ending. Caught it and posted it. And they were like, who's this little kid? Who's this little booming kid? Shouldn't be in class, like.
Why is he all his money? Makes people curious.
Just like, who is he? Like, is he 12 years old? Now I was like 14. I was 15, so I was kind of tight at the time. I was like, damn, like they really think I'm 12. But you know how, like, when you're younger, people, So I was getting my feelings a little bit, but that was honestly how it started. And from there, just it went crazy, it went viral from there. Uh-huh. Twitter, Facebook, all that.
Just kept going viral. So like, in your mind, at that point, had you had been sort of like just making sales doing that, but like at that point when you started to like blow up more as like a personality, did that make you start to feel like, damn, like I need to do something bigger with this like opportunity I have right now?
Facts. I was like, yo, I'm opening this one company, Sneaker Don, and it's online. I'm gonna start selling shoes off of there. I hired some people to work, ship it out, whatever, this, that. This was when I was like 15, about to be 16. I started with that, and well, now I have some crazy stuff in the making for it, but I started out with that, and it was just like, I'll post on my Snapchat, I'll post on my Instagram, like, because I was getting direct traffic, basically. Mm-hmm. So I was like, oh, why not use this traffic to, I'm not an Instagram model, like, what do I care about my likes? Like, no, but just use this traffic to sell stuff. So I was like, oh, okay, cool. Go to a link in my bio, buy this, buy that. And then I was doing merch drops, collabs with whoever it was. Remember Kodak came out, right when he came out, my man's Alex, he worked with him. He was like, yo, let's do a collab with Kodak. Went to his house. Took a picture of him with his hoodie, and was just booming with him on there with that signature, and then just went crazy from there. And I just started doing collabs with a bunch of rappers.
Right. How do you even like hit up an artist to do a collab at that point? Like a lot of people would feel so intimidated; they would never think that somebody like Kodak would agree to like do something like that with him.
Facts. Not gonna lie, first time I met him, I was a little scared. he had the ankle monitor on. It just came out. I was like, they sent me his address. It was deep. It was like 40 minutes from where I live. And I didn't have no one to go with me. And I was like, and I just felt weird, like, bringing someone to his house. Like, it's like, oh, you don't trust me? Like, you're coming to my house. Why are you bringing people type of thing? So I just pulled up Dolo. I was like, sup, I'm Ben. I was a little shook. I'm not going to lie. I was a little nervous the first time. I was, like, a new rapper. And
it's okay to be nervous around Kodak Black. I've never met him, but he seems like a fucking sociopath. So, you know.
He's mad cool, though. Like,
yeah.
You know, shout out to him. He's coming out now, August.
I love him. But at the same time, I mean, God, he's definitely an intimidating human being.
Oh, just, yeah, that's a fact.
Seems like he's just, you never know what the fuck he's going to do.
Yeah. But that's how I thought when I first met him. I was like, oh. And then he just fucked me heavy. Like, we took mad videos, and, like, all the girls at school were like, damn, like, Kodak Black? Like, oh my God.
Yeah,
did auto tune on this?
Auto tune on the mics?
Yeah.
No, I wish. Wow. That'd be amazing.
It really sound like
no,
that.
Yeah, your singing, your impression of girls there was perfect.
Pretty good, right?
Wait, so I forgot about that element. You're in high school, you're making all these moves. Does everybody start tripping on you and just being amazed?
I went on tour with Khaled. I was in 10th grade. And, like, I was never the quiet type, but it was like, I only fucked with a few people. Like, still now, like, I have a small circle. If you're in my circle, I'll fuck with you. If not, it's like, you're a dub type right. of vibe. So back then I was like, I was just talking to one girl. I had like 4 or 5 homies. That was it. Like, and that was it. I don't really, not that I didn't fuck with nobody. It was just like, I didn't want to put time and energy into other people that I wasn't going to get the same back from, right? Mm. So it was like,
a lot of people in high school, that's like a big thing. They want everybody to like them. Then you get older and you realize like, ah, man, I just need a few friends. Like, I don't want everybody to, I don't want to put time into that.
Where are those kids at high school that were so popping in high school?
Oh, yeah. They got herpes and babies and community college jobs and shit.
I wasn't going to roast them, but I guess you did the job.
Wow, just think about like the cool kids when I was in high school and I was a fucking loser and I'm just looking at it now and I'm like,
facts. Uh-huh. I got the bag. And now I came back from tour with him in the middle of 10th grade. I missed like 2 weeks of school. Teachers were not fucking me. They was like, oh, you have 2 days to finish this. I was like, 2 days? I was gone for like 2 weeks. They're like, all right, you can get a zero. I was like, damn. I came back the day I came in to the cafeteria. Everyone just like, this is like right when the Snapchat thing hit. Everyone just surrounded me like with the snap. I'm like, I don't fuck with you. Like, you know what I mean? Like, yeah, right. Who are you? And like, everyone's just like, oh, what up, what up? Now they just all want to be friends, right? So now everybody like, everyone's like, oh yeah, that's my man's. Like, everyone's just jacking on their man's. Like, I'm like, yo, I never fucked with you before this. Why would I hang out with you now? Uh-huh. They just hit me up like, yo, let's link. Let's hang out after school. What are you doing? No. So then, plus on top of that, the teacher's like, oh yeah, you have 2 days to finish this. I wasn't the best student, but like I had A's and B's at the time. So to me, it was like, they better put zeros in all my stuff. I'm about to just drop to what? D's, C minuses. It was like, I'm not a genius, but I worked the whole year at school, and now I'm after two weeks of getting a crazy opportunity. Mm. Half the teachers just wanted to hate on me. Half of them understood, was like, oh yeah, it's cool, it's a great opportunity. We're gonna let you retake it. Half of them were like, no, it's your fault, you missed school. So I was like, after that, I did homeschool. I finished high school. I'm probably going to college, honestly, but
why is that?
Just like, I just want to get a master's in business and stuff like that. Mm. And it was more like, I always told my parents I'm gonna go to college. And then it's like, I visited Yale. Well, I did a speech.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
At Yale. They flew me out to do one at Yale, and it was cool. The college thing isn't my type of vibe, but I do want to get more into marketing and business for later on.
Yeah, see, I would have such a hard time like deciding what to do if I were you, because on one hand, it's like, you know, I've thought about that, like going to school, like just because I'm curious about the shit and I just want to learn. But then I'm like, fuck, I'm like, I'm too old and I'm already so in the middle of all this business shit that there's better ways for me to learn if I want to learn all that stuff. But from your perspective, it's like, you're so young that you definitely still have time. Yeah. But then again, there's so many opportunities, I'm sure, that are coming your way right now that it's kind of like, it hurts me in my heart to just imagine you like passing those up to work on, because school is just a fake version. It's just a reenactment of business for the most part, you know?
That's all it is. And it's just like, to me, it's not even about going to college. It's just marketing and business. I just want to get deeper into it. So it's like, I could just take online courses, whatever. Mm. I definitely want to do the tour thing, especially since I have the whole album coming out. And it's like, everyone who wants to comment, oh, it's not dropping, oh, it's trash, like, you didn't hear the album. So it's like, to me, it's like, it's something I want to do for a long time, because music and sneakers go hand in hand. And for me, it was like, it's part of the culture. And to me, the music thing was always, it was right there with the sneakers for me. So it's something I always wanted to do, and I just have a platform to do it. And then I got all the artists that fuck with me as the features. So it's like, why not do it?
When did that idea start to blossom in your head?
I'm going to be honest, because I've never, like, spoke about the music thing on an interview yet, but the music thing, I really have, like, back in, like, 2014, like, stuff I wrote, rhymes, which obviously now are not up-to-date type of thing, I guess you could say. But when I was, like, 13, 14, I was just writing rhymes for fun. Like, I remember listening to rap, hip-hop, whatever, going home, writing a bunch of rhymes. Never thinking, like, oh, yeah, I'm going to record it, I'm going to rap it. But it was always, like, part of the thing with me as a sneaker thing. And then I remember I did something with Christian Combs in New York at Blast Off. We recorded something, and then we recorded a few things, and then I started playing stuff like G-Eazy, right? He was like the first artist that was like really major artist that really was like, oh, we're like, this is hard, like, let me get on this. Is there an empty verse? Played him some stuff, studio right here in LA, and I played him like 3 songs. And the second song I played, he was like, run this back? Ran it back. He's like, is there an open verse on this? I was like, yeah. He's like, let me get on this. I was like, for real? He was like, yeah, let's do it right now. We did the song, about to shoot a video. It's cleared, everything, Apple Music, Spotify, all that. I'm gonna drop that. I'm also dropping the Block Boy first though, but that was really where it started.
How the fuck did you get Block Boy on Shrek?
Honestly, it was maybe I don't know. Maybe he see I fuck with Drake. He fucks with Drake, and it was like through an Instagram type of thing. Like I hit him on the gram. I was like, yo, what's up? What are you doing tomorrow? He's like, I'm in New York, and I was like, oh, me too. You wanna roll by the studio? He was like, yeah, I'm with it. Pulled up to the studio, played him a beat, my man's. I got, like, a bunch of my boys who make beats, like, a bunch of people, producers, like, Apex, a bunch of people.
Shout out Apex.
Yeah, facts. I got a bunch of them, but he's fire. Mm. It made me a beat. I was like, yo, let me play this. Played it for him. He was like, this shit is hard. He did it. He did it. He was in and out 20 minutes. I did a verse on it. It's fire.
Who do you feel like has, like, helped shape your, you know, style as a musician and stuff? Like, who's actually been in the studio with you and who's, like, kind of showed you how to do it?
I mean, at this point, it's a bunch of artists that was really in the studio with me while we did it. But I want to say G-Eazy was the first one that was really like, yo, you got it. Because I was thinking like, yo, I don't know if I want to drop it at first because it might, you know what I mean? Like, at the end of the day, like, anything could backfire. So I don't know if I want to drop it. And G was like, no, you got to drop it. You got to drop it. And I fucked it up. Obviously, I thought it was fire. My boys was like, yo, it's fire. But when G said it, he was like, yo, you got to drop it. I'm giving you a verse. It's like, come on, G-Eazy giving me a verse. It's like, kind of got it. The pressure's on all of a sudden.
Yeah.
So I was like, from there, I was like, let's do it. I was in Miami, did a song with Cardi. Shout out, play with Cardi.
That's crazy because I know a lot of people that are like friends with a lot of rappers that have not. Yeah. I know a lot of rappers that are friends with like popular rappers that have not gotten features from those rappers.
Facts. Honestly, I gotta like tell you some of the artists I got, but it's a bunch. Like, all these rappers are, it's like my man. So it's like, it's easy. Like, I hit you up, like, oh, can we do something? Yeah, yeah, I got you, no problem. And they're like, oh, the album, all that. So I did one song with Rich the Kid and PNB Rock on the same song. One song with Gunna and someone else. I don't want to say who, because until everything get cleared, I don't really want to say too much, but got another song with G-Eazy, played with Cardi, Block Boy, Smoke Perp. I'm not going to say a bunch of other features, but there's a bunch more. But it's like, everyone's like, oh, yeah, you just want to drop features. No, it was just like, they're all my friends, and so why not take advantage of the fact that that's my man's? And like, a lot of them just pulled up to the studio and were like, let's just do something right now. I played them something, and they just got on it. It wasn't even like a stretch where I was like, yo, let's do it. Like, a lot of these, not no shade to rappers, but a lot of them I see like, yo, let's do it, bro. Like, come on, let's record something. Let's, like, for 2-3 weeks, be chasing someone down. It was just like, yo, pull up on me at the studio. Pulled up, vibe, played some shit. They got on it. And that was basically it. Now I'm about to drop the Block Boy record first. And
it's crazy. You feel like this is going to be like a whole big new chapter in your career?
Facts.
Because people like up to this point, they know about you or whatever. But a lot of times it's kind of that conversation of like, a lot of people know about you, but they're like, what does he do? Yeah. He's just a sneaker like dude, whatever. Exactly. Like, you know, it's confusing to people sometimes unless you give them something. Yeah. I get that about me a lot too. Like, what the fuck does that guy even do? It's kind of like,
we get to the bag,
do interviews, I'm like, it's not that hard to figure out. But like, the sneaker thing is like more confusing to some people because they don't like see it transpiring or whatever.
Oh, I have like people ask me like, why can't they just go buy Yeezys in the store? Why do they need you? Like, all right, never mind. Forget it.
Do you even still sell shoes like that, like hand to hand?
No, yeah, I do. I mean, I get it for like all my rapper friends and stuff, and then on my website. And I got some crazy update I'm doing right now for my whole thing, Sneak It On.
What's the key to like being able to kill it in that world? Attention to detail and shit.
When I started out, everyone was like, oh, it's impossible. You can't do it. Like, you're going up against huge investors, huge people. And it's like, if you just put your mind to it, you could do it. And it's like, I had a bunch of plugs in the industry, like, that I was real, real close with. So it was like, even at the time, if they had to front me something, like, oh, here's 200 pairs, I'll just always give them the bread right after. Here it is. Sell it. The key is, honestly, sell it way early. Buy more when it comes out. Stock it. And then buy it again once it goes back up. Mm. It's at the highest peak before. And it drops when it comes out, then it goes back up.
I mean, I feel like a lot of you're bringing a lot of value to it just by the promotional means too. They're like, you're like a celebrity sneaker reseller, so people want to interact with you based on that alone.
It's like a brand name kind of, like, they know it's official.
It's like a brand name experience to them to like even just deal with you or whatever, just because it's like, you know, getting to meet somebody that they've seen online and shit, right?
Oh yeah, facts.
That's crazy. So, man, so you feel like, so how many people do you have working for you on the sneaker side?
Well, right now we only have like six. But after I launch this new thing, just I'm gonna tell you later, but it's some crazy thing I'm launching. I don't wanna say nothing to give out no ideas to anyone else, but something crazy. I'm gonna launch that. It's just me.
Do you have investors, or are you just self-funding this whole thing?
Well, as of right now, we have self-funds, but it's like everything, 85% of the stuff is like owned inventory versus, oh, let me consign. We're gonna do consignment for sure, but right now, 80% of it's owned.
Right. What are you like motivated by? Are you just motivated by the idea of growing your businesses like crazy, or are you motivated by the idea of just getting rich as fuck, or what is it?
Well, obviously, I want to grow my business. I want to make a brand name. I want to have something, honestly, my kids can rely on, because like money comes and goes, but like a business with an income, it just stays. And sneakers, again, it's like my passion alongside with music. So it's like everyone's like, oh, you do it for the money. Like, you just want to drop the music for the money. Like, no, if I wanted to do it for the money, I would have been signed a deal. Like, I offered a bunch of deals, would have been signed a deal, just started dropping my shit. No, I want to do it the right way. I want to actually put it out, because that's what, like, music is one of my passions. Just like sneakers, same thing.
You aren't interested in the label shit?
There's been some huge artists, which I don't want to name drop, because obviously a lot of them are signed, but like the biggest artists probably that we listen to every day, they were like, yo, don't sign. It's not worth it. Don't sign. Oh, a million? No, don't sign. No shot.
Really?
It's like, forget the part that I got the crazy, like I got stupid features, but it's like, I have so many, and it's like a huge album. It's a lot. Most of the rappers in the rap game, in the rap industry, they fuck with me. So it's like, for me to go sign and then sign a regular deal, 80-20 deal is just not worth it for me.
I mean, you signing the deal right now makes sense if you think that your music career is not going to go anywhere.
Exactly.
You know? If you actually believe that you're going to be a really popular artist, then you absolutely should not sign before you put your first project out. You know? That's like the whole logic behind it. If you really... If you really don't have a shot on your own, then the label shit is dope. Like, you've done all this shit up to this point by yourself, so it's kind of like, why would you want to necessarily just be like, here, take a big-ass chunk of my shit?
And it's like, I'm going to play it for you so you can hear it, but it's like, people are like, oh, yeah, he's like a sneakerhead. Why would, you know what I mean? Why is, how's his music? His music's not going to be lit.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to play it for you, and you can tell me, but it's definitely lit.
No, I'm definitely interested to hear it and shit. That's going to be, it's going to be a crazy, like, thing to see how people react to it, because, you know, you see a lot of people like a Cardi B or a Bad Baby who come out, and they're, like, known for something else, for being funny on the internet. I know you're not really known for being funny on the internet, but you're known for, like, being on the internet. And, like, it takes time for people to sort of like get rid of that thing in their head. Is like, oh, I'm just supposed to laugh at this person, and I'm gonna actually listen to him.
Like, I fuck with Cardi B, I fuck with Bad Baby. It's no shade against Bad Baby, but again, like, she came out as, oh, the whole Dr. Phil thing, and then she dropped the song. It caught wave, but it took a minute. Like, now the new song she dropped with Yachty, Gucci Flip Flops, like, that shit hard, I'm not gonna lie.
It keeps getting harder and harder to hate on it for people, because it keeps seeming less and less that she's the meme girl, and more that she's an actual musician.
Yeah, and now she's like selling out shows. It's like, now I'm forgetting about the whole Dr. Phil thing, because I'm actually listening to her music.
Yeah.
That's how she came up, yeah, but her music is hard. If her music was just dead trash or a joke, it would be like, oh, it's a joke. Like, she's like that girl from Dr. Phil.
I haven't forgot about Cardi B, the exotic dancer, but I'm trying. Trying to reimagine her, forgetting that. Oh, I forgot your team Migos. You probably don't want me to say that.
Shout out to Cardi.
I'm just saying, no, okay, forget about that. Cardi B. We all loved her as the funny-ass Instagram
person.
That's actually the amazing thing, is that she's managed to still be the funny-ass Instagram personality and kill it with the music.
Facts.
Usually I feel like people feel like they have to fall back with the thing they started out with. It would be like if you were like, nope, I'm done with the sneaker shit.
No.
I'm just rapping now.
I don't know.
That would be a weird decision, yeah.
No, I'm still definitely doing the sneaker thing. But the rap thing is like more of like even a put on, and it's like I've been having the music like all locked up in a vault, and I just want to drop it. But I want to do it the right way. I don't want to sign with the label, drop songs whenever they want me to drop songs. So I just want to have the freedom, like, yo, drop it for the fans, whatever. And it's like, I've been saying I'm going to drop it, so I feel bad at this point. But it's like, when I come out, it's going to be worth it. We're shooting a video and everything. It's like,
because you know what the thing with music is, at the end of the day, nothing's bigger than music. Like,
yeah, it's a fact.
In terms of like being able to affect people, like a popular song is just gonna like a popular song, everybody can know about it. Whereas like when you look at what you're doing now, where you're sort of like, you're on Instagram, you're like, you know, linking and building with a lot of people and stuff, but like that is so much harder to communicate to people than like a song. Anybody can listen to a song and appreciate it, rather than like, you know, you can be in fucking Czechoslovakia and you're gonna appreciate a good song, you know?
No, yeah, it's a fact.
Crazy. So what else you have in the works? All right, like, where do you see yourself like 10 years from now or whatever?
Just a chain of sneaker stores. I would just post it up in Bali.
Have you talked to Khaled a lot about your career musically?
Well, I've been talking to like basically a bunch of artists. Not in the career, but more of like a, oh, like, play them. Like, oh, do you like this? Do you like that? Do you like this? Do you like that? Stuff like that. Like, just getting advice, in a sense. And basically, the only advice so far I've been asking is the label. Oh, should I sign? There has not been one artist that has told me, yes, I think you should sign. They're like, yo, unless it's a stupid deal. And I was like, what's a stupid deal? And someone, I'll tell you later who it was, but they were like, unless it's $3 million right now with no music out, don't sign. I was like, $3 million, that's crazy. And they explained to me, they're like, yo, but music really makes so much bread that when a label signs you, they sign you knowing that, yo, if I sign them, like at least 90% of the time, if I sign them, I'm gonna get this amount back. Yeah. So it's like, if they're offering you something, it's because they know they'll get it back.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not no like, oh, like you gotta play in the music, you gotta do the whole thing. So it's like, it's not a guessing game.
Right. Nah, it's just crazy.
I just didn't.
I think about that all the time because I don't actually know how much you make from like songs that like do really well on Spotify or Apple Music or whatever. I'm trying to figure all that out because that if I had that idea in like my mind, then I could know more easily like what labels are expecting to make from when they give an artist $1 million or whatever, you know?
Well, think about it. It's also like a lot of times they want a 360 deal. Mm-hmm. Merch, that's crazy. Right now I put up stupid numbers on merch.
You definitely could not sign that kind of deal.
Yeah. And then touring, for example, like, again, I'll tell you who, but like, say it's a huge artist and they want to bring me out, right? Whatever, cool. They bring me out in front of 50,000 people. And then it's like, you do your own type of touring thing. Like, for example, like Bad Baby, right? She's doing her own tour. So imagine doing your own tour and they get 80% of your tour. Plus they get 80% of your merch.
Mm.
Plus they get 80% of all your streaming. And then it's like, if you look up streaming, like right now, streaming is at one of the highest it's ever been. I was looking at it. It was like 8,000 for like 1 million streams, like crazy stuff. And it's not difficult to get 1 million streams.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's like, look at your YouTube.
You 8,000? I had no idea it was
and
that high.
It's just like off of one platform.
Right.
Like there's 50 platforms.
Because YouTube's fucked up because you get 1 million plays on a video and make like $1,000. You might be able to make
that's
a couple thousand if you're like really popping. But
yeah, that's
why. Music, like on Spotify, Apple Music, that's why the label's always trying to drive people away from YouTube and onto Spotify and Apple Music because the paid shit makes so much more.
Oh, yeah, facts. That's I mean, I'm definitely going to drop my video on YouTube with the artist, but that's just like visuals and stuff.
Do you make YouTube videos?
Nah.
Do you ever think about it? Because that feels like a good way for you to like share your personality even more.
I did, and I made like 4 videos, and then I stopped. Just first of all, it was just for me. It's like I'd be around all the artists, so like it's different than you doing a podcast, right? It's like imagine I'm at their house and they're doing something that they don't want on camera. It's just like I'm over here like,
yeah,
sup guys? Like, yeah, I'm filming. Like it's just weird. Like I just
always hard.
Don't
want
to invade on their privacy type of thing. And it's like I'm always around them, so I don't want to. I mean,
it's weird from a YouTuber perspective because the more like, all right, say tomorrow I was at Drake's house, boom. That's like if you could just film a video there, that's the most views you're ever gonna get on a video. But you know that Drake don't want you filming his house. You know it's weird. You know he's gonna think you're weird. You know it's so it's always strange. Or like you know you have a show, it's normal to be filming, but you still don't want to be like getting up near the dude.
Yeah.
Like you know you just have to be really careful with like where you pick your shots. You know.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure like if we're at his house type of thing, and I'm like, oh yo, let me just. Get this as a thumbnail.
Mm.
Oh, what up, it's Drake. Like, cool. But
you also like have been around him enough that you have that relationship and you know that you could try that and it would probably be cool. Whereas like, yeah. And I mean, that's the weird thing about YouTubers too, is that most of the, like, cause I was searching your name on YouTube and there's all these people that have millions of views from videos about you, even though the content is kind of like, whatever. It's like Ben looking at a pair
Someone
of Yeezys for 5 minutes.
Check. It was like 3 million. I was like, damn. They're like, are these real, bro? And I was just like looking at the Yeezy, and it's like it was the same clip like over and over again. Like it was me looking at it, flipping it, looking at it, flipping it for like 3 minutes. You got like, I don't know if you get more money, how depending
making
on
making it longer. Is,
oh, okay.
Yeah.
So that explains it. I got like 3 million views. I was like, damn, I should do this.
That could be you, because if it's you talking, like just saying, hey, here's some shoes I got. This shit's crazy. Yeah. This shit's worth a lot of money. Let's talk about
facts.
It. Yeah. I don't know. I mean, that's like when Bad Baby first started blowing up, she got with this like management company and they had her doing that shit right away, like just sitting in front of the camera, answering some boring ass questions, doing whatever. It's just like, I mean, is this a thing? Like, I feel like the YouTube audience, because there's a lot of like sneakerheads on there and shit, but I don't feel like somebody's really like exploded out past it. I feel like that, if you got on that, you could take over the whole lane.
Yeah.
But then again, that's just me. I don't know shit.
Oh, yeah. But I have so much, like, I have a sneaker thing on the music, like, so much to focus on. It's just like, I just, at the end of the day, when you mix 50 things, nothing gets done.
That's
nothing is done. So it's like.
Yeah, because I was always, when I first started really getting interested in you, is when I seen you just like pulling up at a lot of video shoots and shit and just, you know, just wanting to be around what's going on and everything. That's how we first met each other and stuff. But like, from your perspective, like going to just a music video shoot or whatever, like, are you just sort of assuming like that when you put yourself in that environment that like good things can come out of it in terms of meeting people, yeah, just finding something going on.
Well, the last video was obviously, you know, I don't know if I'm allowed to say it, but you know.
Oh yeah, yeah, take a video. Yeah. We did, yeah.
And then Block Boy was there, and it's like my man's. Like,
is that how you met him, or you already knew him?
No, we did the song way before.
Okay.
But it was just like he was like, oh, I'm at this video shoot, and it was funny because me and my boy, our friend, he manages Take A, so it was like.
Shout out Ezra, the youngest in the game.
You know what it is. I don't know if I was allowed to name drop that either.
Oh, hell yeah.
But yeah, facts. But then Ezra was like, oh yeah, pull up on me at the video shoot to Take A shit. And then Block was like, oh yo, I'm here, pull up on me here. I was like, same address, yeah, obviously. Pulled up there, whatever, chopped it up with him, and then I saw you there. But that's just like, I just be pulling up to the video shoot, just like, I fuck with them. It's like, if my man's had a video shoot, I'm gonna just pull up to his video shoot regardless. Like the Migos thing.
But I feel like sometimes people don't realize that like all these little opportunities and shit are like little business, like little networking stones. Opportunities. Like you could go to 100 parties and you don't make money at any of the parties or whatever. But if you just meet a person here and there, they'll give you opportunity or want to fuck with you on some shit. Like I always say that about interviews and stuff. I'm like, if you put me in a studio with somebody, I could get an interview with them. Yeah. Because if I'm in there for an hour and I meet them and actually have a conversation, they probably are going to realize like, damn, I would rather do an interview with this dude than most of the other people who are doing rap interviews right now.
Yeah.
Same thing with you. You meet somebody, they're like, damn, I'll do a song with him, or I'll fucking... And even if you go to 100 parties and you don't like really get anything that great out of it, it's just putting yourself in those situations is like one
people
of the biggest... That's the biggest thing I could give to like young kids is just say like, you got to just put yourself out there, because if you really are dope, putting yourself out there will get you into those positions. You know?
Yeah, that's what it is, honestly.
I feel like you are like going to end up being like a 27-year-old like motivational business speaker type guy at some point. You're just going to like, I just feel like you got that in you at some point.
No, yeah, facts. I mean, I definitely would want to share my knowledge with other kids, obviously.
Yeah.
Put them on as much as I can.
I feel like, yeah, because you kind of have already like, even if you haven't gone directly in that direction, it's kind of like a lot of your fans probably are real young kids that just want to like do something in business, and they look at you as like a person who's doing that, and they just want to sort of be able to pick up some juice.
No, yeah. See what you're saying.
Shit. Yeah. All right. Anything else we should talk about? Anything important?
Yeah, it's basically it. Just the sneaker thing, the music. That's what I'm working on right now.
Oh, yeah. I'm excited, man. I want to hear all this music. You got to email me that shit.
Oh, yeah. Facts.
Let's do that. Oh, yeah. So, Benjamin Kicks on Instagram. I'm sure you guys know where to find him. It's on the screen right now, probably.
Oh, it is?
Well, not on the live stream, but it will be once this comes out as an actual interview.
So this is on the live stream on YouTube.
On YouTube, but then the separate clip will have, like, your name on the screen and all that bullshit.
Oh, I bet.
How do you feel about the jewelry collection? Is that a big part of marketing?
I mean, it is marketing, but it's more of like a... I always looked at it on other people, and I was like, oh, I want that. And it was just, like, kind of like sneakers, because... Not that I couldn't afford it, but it was just, like, my parents were like, oh, yeah, it's whack. To buy, like, it's just whack, and I just wanted it. They're like, yeah, we're not buying that.
Yeah, Jewish families aren't about jewelry, huh?
No, sir. So, just like, had to bust down the chain, I had to put my name on it, because, like, people are like, what's your name? Benjamin Kicks with a Z.
Mm.
So, you know, I had to put
the chain with your name on it is the ultimate move. Like, people come up to me and they'll say their name like 100,000 times per day, but when they have a big ass chain that says their name, it makes it a lot harder to forget.
And people are like, are you back? Oh, yeah, yeah.
Exactly, bro. That's fire. All right, well, bro, I appreciate you coming in.
Thank you, bro.
Good luck on tour. And shout out to anybody who watched this and was inspired a little bit. Follow Ben on Instagram. Hit him up. Buy some Yeezys in the DMs. Yeah, appreciate it, man. Thank you.
Thank you.
No Jumper. Coolest podcast in the world. Check us out on YouTube, SoundCloud, iTunes. Gang. All right, so for the people out there, that was the podcast. Chris, we got to get this photo popping, and we're going to put some... Hey, my second interview might be here.
We have to cut power.
Hello, Bradley? What?
We have to cut power.
We have to cut power. Oh, so okay, we have to... For how long?
Well, maybe 15 minutes, but Andrea's going to get the thing right now. And change a breaker.
Yo, hold on one sec. Yo, okay, cool. Well, we just end this, and then that's the podcast. I'm going to hit you back. We'll end this. Boom. That's the Benjamin Kicks interview. We'll get the fuck... And then we'll just... Guys, if you're into this... Stay tuned, because we got another interview coming up momentarily. We just got to turn the power off so we can fix the AC real quick.